This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to an iFanboy special edition on Legion.
Happy Jack wasn't old, but he was a man. He lived in the sand at the Isle of Man. The kids would all sing, he would take a rum key. So they rode on his head in the furry donkey.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the iFanboy Special Edition, talking about the new TV show Legion on FX. I'm Ron Richards, and with me is Connor Kilpatrick.
Hello.
Hello. The parade of comics content in February continues as the latest TV show is Legion, as premiered on the FX channel, home of Home of Louie? No, that's off the air. What is it? Sons of Anarchy?
Fargo.
Fargo, right, yeah, all those fun things. And this one is notable because this is the very first television show that ties into the X-Men universe, which has never been done before, aside from the animated series.
So the live-action X-Men show.
Yeah, so this was created by Noah Hawley, who wrote and directed the first episode, and he's best known for being a writer on Fargo.
No. You don't watch Fargo, so he's the creator...
Okay.
Fargo. In the same way that what he did here,
yeah,
he developed the TV show Fargo. He wrote a lot of the episodes.
Wow.
It's his vision. This is the same for Legion. Is he developed the show. He wrote the first episode. I think he wrote the first two episodes.
Right.
He directed this one. He's a novelist turned TV guy, which is pretty amazing considering I had no idea he directed this one. We'll get into that in a second, but I was pretty surprised. Yeah, so this is his baby in the same way that Fargo was.
And so the connection to the X-Men universe is that the main character is David Haller, who in the comics was known as Legion, hence the title of the show, which I wonder if he's Legion or – well, we'll talk about that a little more. And he – in the comics, he is the son of Charles Xavier, and his mutant power is that he has multiple personalities in his head, and he's able to pull a personality and have the powers of that personality. So he had multiple powers, very powerful mutant, so much so powerful that he was driven crazy by his powers. And so that's who Legion is.
You're the deep dive X-Men guy, and I am the slightly more than casual X-Men fan, but still not at your level. So that's what Legion, okay.
He was created by Chris Claremont and Bill Sienkiewicz.
Right.
His first appearance was New Mutants 25, and he, you know, has always been that kind of it was funny, I was describing it to my girlfriend. I'm like, he's lucky if he's B-list.
I don't think he's B-list. When's the last time you saw him? Where is he now?
He was in Avengers vs. X-Men. That's where they last saw. That's where he was last involved.
Oh wow, okay.
I mean, technically the problem is that he's a catch-all.
Right.
His powers are, you know, technically, and I'm looking at Wikipedia here for the description, the official description, his ability to absorb a person's psyche into his as an alternate personality and manifest their superhuman abilities when they're dominant. And so therefore, he's been able to be telepathic, telekinetic, pyrokinetic, time travel, reality warping.
Right.
Like he's an omni-level powered.
He's a Swiss Army knife.
He's a Swiss Army knife, going back to some of our secret power, our mutant powers for our patrons. You know, but the problem was is that they put him in a way where the powers were so overwhelming that he was half the time catatonic, the other half time crazy, and then he became just a MacGuffin. He became a character that would allow them to do something that they had to stop or whatever. Like he was, you know, involved like Legion Quest and Age of Apocalypse. He got tied in with that. You know, there was always some sort of, you know, reality distortion thing he was at the center of because he had these crazy unlimited powers.
I mean, it makes sense to make the son of Charles Xavier kind of like this crazy, unlimited, powerful mutant. However, you run into story problems with it. So I can see why it was a challenge.
Yeah, and like literally, like, and also what they did was like if you go to the Wikipedia page, it's hysterical because they have a whole section of his personalities where they try to log all the personalities he has, and literally they're into the thousands.
Oh, jeez.
Right? He is the power of Delphic, the name given a personality 1012. Blue-skinned, seemingly omniscient seer willing to answer three questions to supplicants. She also gives off what appears to be electric discharges. Like, it just – he would touch anyone and get all their powers, and it just became – he became more of a plot device than a character.
Well, that's an interesting note for the show then because I didn't know that. All I knew was, you know, the name, that he had a mohawk.
Yep. Not a mohawk. It was more like imagine your hair was long and it went up straight like a racer head. It's more a racer head than mohawk.
They didn't have it shaved on the sides at some point.
Maybe at some point, but like
a punk rock mohawk.
Yeah, the classic look is the hair standing straight up, but it's more a racer head than punk rock.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. So we'll talk. We're talking about the pilot. We're gonna talk. There'll be spoilers. So if you haven't seen
yes.
the pilot, be wary. I'm looking at pictures. Yeah, you're right. It's more of a racer head look.
Yep.
I don't know why I thought mohawk. That's weird. I don't know. All I know is the actor who plays Legion, Dan Stevens, has incredible hair.
Yes, he does. I mean, I was very impressed by Dan Stevens, period.
This was amazing. I loved this. Yeah. I thought this was, you know, you don't want to go overboard, but I thought this was the best. And there's a lot of them, comic book TV show, after one episode.
Yeah.
You don't want to pigeonhole Noah Hawley because he is working at Fargo, but it felt kind of like X-Men by way of Coen Brothers.
Yep.
There was a lot of that sort of whimsical, strange feeling to it.
Well, to echo you, I thought this was great. You know, I don't know if I fell in love yet, although I'm really deep into like. Yeah. And a big part of it was, I'll tell you what I don't like. I went to go watch it this morning and I was like, 2 hours.
Well, it's an hour and a half on TV.
Hour and a half. Yeah.
So like it's like an hour... Hour 10 of actual content.
Well, and that's the thing is that part of it was part of why I liked it was, yes, it was longer content, but it also it went with a few exceptions. It went the route of highly aesthetic, well done cinematic feel.
By the end of it, it's a psychological story, you know, until the very end. And there's a prolonged action sequence. I thought was fantastic. I was like, this is the best X-Men movie we've ever seen.
It was really good. Really, really good. Yeah.
My feeling at the end of it was, okay, first of all, balls on your court, Brian Singer, for the X-Men series you're doing.
Yeah.
But also, let's reboot the X-Men universe and give it to Noah Hawley.
Yeah. What was great was that, you know, aside from story and plot and storytelling device and stuff like that, which I want to get into as well, for me, aesthetically,
oh my God,
like, this felt like a cousin of X-Men First Class.
Yeah, I wrote this down. It was retro-modern with a 60s flair to everything. From the costume designs to everything was brightly colored.
A little 60s, 70s. I would even say 70s flair, you know, like, and that said, so
landlines, people were on payphones. Yeah. Like, it had this very throwback. You're right. It totally could have fit in with that First Class kind of vibe to it.
Totally. And what's funny is that the most of the episode, or at least the first half, if not maybe more, takes place in a mental institution where David Haller is in, and you get the sense of, you know, something went wrong and he tried to kill himself and all this sort of stuff. But I gotta admit, it is the most stylish mental institution I've ever seen. Like,
it looks fun. It looked like a resort.
Nice jumpsuits and just like great mid-century modern furniture and just like, wow, this is very, very nice. But that aesthetic carried through the whole episode to even to when whatever nefarious organization has captured David and is trying to understand him, they built a very stylish interrogation room to contain him in. You know, like, I was like, wow, there's a real sense of a style here.
There's no reason why your interrogation needs to be in a place that's all drudgery. You can have it be stylish is what the...
Yeah.
This looked really great. I was really impressed when the title card came up at the end and said Noah Hawley directed it, because he's, like I said, he's a novelist. He directed two episodes of Fargo, one each season, but because the whole time I'm watching, going, who directed this? And let's have them do a feature. But
yeah, yeah.
I was very impressed. It felt like a jolt of energy and excitement into them. It's been 17 years now of this particular X-Men universe that we've been living in. And I'm looking forward to Logan. I don't want people to think I'm not. But it's time for a change. And this show felt like that change, even if it's tied into whatever universe we're doing. I don't know if it is or not, for sure.
Right.
And I don't know how it's going to relate to this other series they're developing that Brian Singer is doing.
I believe this. I mean, this is everything I've read, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'm sure people will correct us on Twitter or on the comments to this episode. But I'm pretty sure this is tied to the movie verse.
Yeah, I think it is, because right now that everything is. They're not saying, you know, they're not redoing yet. They're not rebooting or anything. So I think everything is tied together. However, it felt like a breath of fresh air. It felt new. It didn't feel like it was part of that world. I don't know where you would put this in terms of aesthetics into that world, unless it takes place in the 60s.
Right.
So in that sense, I was like, well, this is the jolt of energy that this X-Men world needs, for me at least, because it's gotten kind of stale. And so in that sense, the whimsy, the excitement, the inventiveness that was all throughout this pilot is something I think the X-Men desperately need in terms of their media.
Yep.
But let's talk about Dan Stevens, who plays David Haller, last seen on Downton Abbey as doomed Lord Matthew.
Oh, I had no idea. Really?
Someone put him in a shrink wrap machine, and he looks like he's about 40 pounds lighter than he was on Downton Abbey.
Oh, wow.
And he's English, and he has that pinched sort of nasally American accent that a lot of Englishmen get when they're trying to do an American accent. However, I thought he was terrific. I thought he's in basically every scene, and he's the center of every scene, so he's got to be good. And he's really good. You know, he was really great in Downton Abbey. He's fantastic here. I love the way he sort of had a cat-like body language. His head was always sort of snapping around different directions very quickly because he is this credible telepath.
Right.
I was captivated by him. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I thought him being such a pivotal part of the episode, and you being in, you know, you being as equally confused as he is throughout the episode,
yes,
as to, you know, it's not a criticism of the episode, but it's my observation of the episode. I have a friend who has dealt with mental illness. And as a byproduct of that, when talking about movies and specifically talking about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, the right. Michel Gondry, Jim Carrey movie, they said to me, yeah, I don't want to watch movies that remind me of what it's like inside my head.
Right.
And this show teetered that, where like, this could be really stressful for somebody who's dealing
Absolutely,
like even for me, I was getting uncomfortable after, you know, a lot of the mental institution scenes and dealing with, you know, he's believed to be schizophrenic when in reality he's this mutant. And it just like, and I feel like they captured that confusion, that, you know, that being disconnected from everyone else and like that fear. And then also, but his awareness of what is real and what isn't real. And it came and went. Like sometimes he questioned what was happening, but the other times he was totally in the moment. This is a very nuanced episode and very heady, and it could have gone wrong.
It makes you work for it. Listeners may have noticed we haven't like recapped the plot because it's not sort of a linear, straightforward thing.
Yeah.
I love the opening montage where we go through his life from a baby all the way to the present day, where we're seeing how his powers affected his life. I thought it was very stylish. It felt kind of similar to the opening of the Watchmen film, in which the sort of old classic rock song plays while there's this montage of things happening. You know, he's in an institution, but then he's also, this is some point in the past, but in the present he's being interrogated by this shadowy group while they're making him recount his time in the institution. But then we see flashbacks within flashbacks where he goes back to when he was married and his powers caused the end of his relationship. And then he breaks out from this group and this other group gets him. And so there's a lot of, you said it, there's a lot of confusion. It's not linear. It makes you work for it. You're not quite sure what's real, just like he's not quite sure what's real. To me, that was the strength of it, in that it kept you on your toes. It really portrayed what it was like in his head. And, you know, you'll want some grounding soon. You'll want to know what's happening. You'll want to know what the plot is. But for right now, it was very much this interesting, I don't want to say tone poem, but sort of very much like, what is it like in this person's head who is a credible telepath and who doesn't quite know it or don't understand it? And it jumped around in time a lot. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Yeah, and I think this is important note. Like, I don't want to get into the plot because, A, I would want to spend forever describing it. So now where it faltered, I thought, was I'll go faltering and then praising because I do want to end on a good note. The last action sequence just looked – that's where it stumbled a little.
Interesting. I loved the last action sequence.
Yeah, no, which was good, but the effects involved and the urgency, it just felt – it almost felt like 85% done. To me.
Interesting. I didn't. What was it about that? What was it about the effects that you thought were not?
Just that the whole episode felt like a movie, felt very cinematic, felt very stylized, and then we get into this intense action sequence, and not even the scene in the pool at the end of the episode, but the next scene outside where they're running from the soldiers and stuff, and it just felt like a not good X-Men movie. You know, like
I thought it looked better than anything in the X-Men movie I've seen. It had more wit to it. It's as good as you're going to get in a television show budget, but even then I was impressed by the way it looked. Clearly a lot of the budget went to that sequence. See, I thought it was great, but you know, maybe we disagree. That's fine.
I just it felt like it had that weird like the Marvel movies where like the action speeds up. You know, that weird kind of frame rate issue, but the thing was that wasn't present at any other time in the episode, so I felt jarred by it.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Was it one take?
It felt like one take. I don't know. It probably wasn't, but it felt like they wanted it to be one take.
It looked like it was constructed like to be one long shot.
But on the praising side, one thing that I absolutely loved, and I imagine you can guess it, Connor, but the use of music in this was great.
Yes.
And my only thought was like, oh, I really hope this doesn't stop with this one episode, because like there's a straight up like Jane's Addiction song at one point.
I can tell you that from being a faithful Fargo fan, which was very Stan Lee of me.
Yeah.
The music should continue out to the whole series. That was a very important element in Fargo, was to establish time and place and mood. They used contemporary music to whatever the scene was.
So right.
I assume this is how the style, and it'll continue throughout the series.
Yeah.
Questions for you as an X-Men person. So I was really waiting for this so I can start asking you a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
Was he hallucinating Mojo?
I had that thought. I don't know. And if he was, that is crazy.
It looked like Mojo.
Yeah.
I mean, like a little bit of a taller, not so squat Mojo, but it looked like Mojo.
It looked like Mojo. For me, it was like, is that Blob? Or is that, I don't know. I don't know who the fat person was that he was, that he was seeing. But Mojo, keep in mind, Mojo was much fatter, had those, clockwork orange eye things.
Right. Well, we saw him in a lot of shadowy stuff. I couldn't really tell you what his eyes looked like, but my first initial thought, we see this character a couple of times in his head. It looked to me, my first thought was Mojo. So I don't know. Is he related at all to Legion, or is that just a long shot thing?
No. I don't know if Legion and Mojo have ever crossed paths. It's a good question. I can't think, because Mojo is in another universe. It's the Mojoverse, right? It's an alternate dimension, and that's where Longshot comes from. I don't remember, but Legion was reality bending. That's a very good question. I need to look
at that. There's some strange character clearly being teased.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else on the show, and we only got names of people, anyone else whose names you recognized, or anyone else who was a character from the comics?
I was looking, and I have not found it.
Okay.
I was looking for somebody to be like, oh, I recognize that name or whatever, but I didn't recognize any names.
So the love interest character, Syd Barrett, played by Rachel Keller, who's on the second season of Fargo, she's not anybody from the comics.
Not that I don't believe so. And I know people are gonna totally go, no, that's totally who they are, who they are. But I'm pretty sure everybody is.
Aubrey Plaza's Lenny Busker. That's not a person.
Yeah.
Is it? I'm asking because I don't know.
And I'm completely no. That's for the TV show. Yeah. I'm doing a search now for Syd Barrett, and all the entries are from the TV show. I think she's created for the show.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. But the same name as the, as the former leader of Pink Floyd. So.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Aubrey Plaza, I thought she was good, and then I was like, oh, too bad she died. But then it's like, oh, it looks like she's going to come back because she's in his head.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of having that powerful telepath. So I thought great supporting cast. One of Howley's strengths on Fargo was always having a really interesting group of actors. Not even just interesting names, but really interesting faces, like the guy who was in the interrogation room, whose name was The Eye, apparently.
Yeah.
Really interesting grouping. There's a bunch of people here that were on Fargo, like Jean Smart.
Yeah.
She was great, really great on Fargo, so she seems to be some sort of important character here. Hamish Linkletter was the interrogator. Those kind of really interesting actors who have interesting faces.
Oh, I really like him. He was on Newsroom, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's great. I thought I like him a lot as an actor.
I was really impressed.
Yeah. Oh.
This was super awesome.
Yeah, this is great. Ratings. What would you rate this?
I would give this a 4.5.
4.5. I would also give this a 4.5.
Yes.
And sticking with it.
Yes.
Yes. Agreed. Totally. I'm on board. I didn't want to be, but I'm on board. Like they this is great. I hope that the other episodes live up, and maybe that's what FX can do versus Fox proper or even CW or whatever. This felt more movie-y to me, you know?
It did. It's again, I want to keep coming back to Fargo, but that's all we have of Noah Hawley. There was a very cinematic quality to that show.
Yeah.
And that continues here. And I really do not want to put him in that pigeonhole. And I don't know if it's because I watched the Fargo film last night, literally, but
yeah,
it really did feel like a Coen Brothers-esque take on the X-Men.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't even pick up Coen Brothers. Like a lot of the retro stylings and the style. Like I was like, oh, this is kind of Wes Anderson-y. Mm. But now that you say Coen Brothers, that makes sense. It definitely is, I think, a little more Coen Brothers than Wes Anderson.
The casting, I just thought.
Yeah.
So when they try to gas Legion at one point and the pipe comes down really fast next to his head, it was sort of a comical thing.
Yeah.
That was the kind of touch to me that I thought felt very sort of Coen Brothers. So Noah Hawley in this article says, this show should sound like The Dark Side of the Moon. Basically, he was inspired by Dark Side of the Moon. That's why Syd Barrett is named Syd Barrett.
Right, yeah. I'm fine with that. That's cool.
But this is great. I think if you're an X-Men fan, check it out. If you liked Fargo, check it out. If you just want to see a very non-traditional take on a superhero TV show, because we have so many of them now, but they're all very, you know, all the CW ones are basically the same kind of thing, which is great, but they all have the same kind of tone.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is what it is. You know, Walking Dead. These are all sort of standard takes on comic book shows, but this is a very unusual and very interesting.
This is very cerebral. This is very unlike anything else you've seen. I say give it a shot. I mean, it's a long episode. If you didn't watch it yet, watch it. I think it feels like watching a movie, and if that's the tone of the show, then this will be a fun run. So yes. I'm curious to see where it goes.
Me too.
I was half expecting at the end for like Cable to show up, or like I was waiting for like, and it's the X-Men, you know, like I was waiting, but they didn't do it. So, which I'm kind of glad they didn't do. So, let us know what you think of this, what you thought of Legion. Go to ifanboy.com. You can comment on the post about this episode or tell us on Twitter or whatnot. And, be sure to tune in. We're almost out of this, Connor. we still got some more content to go. We got Lego Batman coming up, and this is the last of the TV, right?
Yes, so we committed to doing all these things in February. We did Riverdale, we did Powerless, we did this, we're doing Lego Batman, in addition to our regular weekly show, and also we did an animated one in the Justice League Dark, and then you'll get a Talksplode, which is our interview show, in a couple of weeks. So we're basically dumping a metric ton of podcasts on you, and then we're walking away.
Yeah, that's our plan. So, all right, so until next time, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
He couldn't stop Jack, all the water's lapping, and they couldn't prevent Jack from being happy.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.